This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Opened up the show with the Pete Alonso news. You could always go back and click chapters on the free Odyssey app or use the rewind feature to hear us break it down how Boomer was right about this. Couple days off, but he was right. And how everybody liked the afternoon guys putting the L on his neck on a cardboard cutout. And the people at the New York Post saying epic dud can suck it this morning because Pete Alonso is a New York Met. Yes. And it only took a couple of days. And by the way, you put the prayer hands up in that particular post. It wasn't a guarantee or anything. You said feeling like, and it took a couple more days. And on Monday, I said, hey, listen, if it happens by the end of the week, you could still celebrate. We've been celebrating today on this Feel Good Thursday.
Hey, I'm celebrating because I'm a Met fan. And yeah. I wanted him on the team, and I want to say thank you to Alex and Steve Cohen for doing it. I think that there was probably, I wonder if Alex got involved in any way, shape, or form, because, you know, and it let commerheads prevail, if you will. And I don't know. She knows the fans. They know the fans. We as a fan base wanted him back. At least I wanted to see him at least 1 year with Juan Soto in the lineup. I had to see this.
Well, I think he had to see it too, because he knows that his numbers are going to be much better.
And I know that the fan base overall is going to be jacked for this. And it also gives everybody here involved a little bit of freedom after the year is over to decide what to do. So it doesn't preclude the Mets from going after Vlad Guerrero if they want to. It doesn't preclude Pete Alonso getting an extension if he has a great year with this lineup. Like, you know, if he really has a clutch year and goes out on to maybe hit 45 to 50 home runs, who knows? Who knows what the future will hold for him? But, you know, he gets his signing bonus. He gets $30 million this year. He gets paid for what I think he's getting paid for what he's given the Mets. He's not getting paid for what they believe he's going to give them.
Yeah. So and he is the highest paid for 2025. He is the highest paid first baseman in the game,
which Boris can take a victory lap on and say, yeah, I got the highest paid first baseman, whatever. But at the end of the day, for me as a Met fan, like I said earlier this morning, I'm really happy. I'm really happy. Like, this is when Chris Kreider signed his contract with the Rangers. Like, they were dangling him as a trade bit and all this other crap, and then he took a contract that was. You know, it was good for the Rangers and it was good for Chris Kreider. And Chris Kreider should go down as one great Ranger. And this is how I felt about this guy. Like, okay, let's give him another shot with a lineup that, you know, is going to be protecting him and he's going to be protecting them. And let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and he may not finish his career as a Met. I think that it's actually more likely than not that he doesn't at this point, the way that this negotiation went. But you got him for another year. You got him with Juan Soto. You're coming off an amazing year where he had one of the biggest hits that the franchise has seen in a while. It's such a special moment in Milwaukee, and we'll see how it goes. Now, if he ends up having a great year and he looks young and he's in shape and he has a much better year, and you think, okay, you know what? I'd rather have Pete than Vlad Guerrero Jr., which I don't think they'll say. But you never know. At least gives him an opportunity. And I think that he wanted to be here. That's another
thing. It's kind of like Aaron Glenn wanted to be the Jet coach. He wanted to be the Jet coach. You know, he said that in his press conference. So if you're a Jet fan and you say, Aaron Glenn is my coach because he wanted to be here. He wasn't using any other team as leverage. This is where he wanted to be. You know, so as a Jet fan, you got to love that. You got to love the fact that, you know, you have one of your own coaching your team. And I go back to Chris Kreider again. I wanted him. He's one of our own. We drafted him. I saw him all of his games at Boston College. He was great then. He's turned out to be a great Ranger. I know at times it can be frustrating, but he has turned out to be ultimately a great Ranger, and his number's going to go into the rafters. I can tell you that. So with Saquon Barkley leaving the Giants, and I think there was a segment of the Giant fan base that was sad to see him go, especially where he went.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want the Met fan base to have to deal with that same crap because Pete is an extremely popular player, especially with the younger Met fans, the whole polar bear deal. And I hope he recognizes that those fans, you know, have all been pulling for him. And I'm sure on opening day, he's going to get a great, great ovation.
Yeah, and it's not totally apples to apples with Saquon and the Giants and the Mets and Pete Alonso, but you don't have to worry about him going somewhere else and having this mammoth year, and maybe the Mets are underachieving a little bit and everybody's going crazy and say, oh, what'd you do? You let him go. He's hitting 50 home runs. You don't have to worry about that. I mean, he's on your team. He's going back. He's your starting first baseman. He's in the lineup, and let's go.
You know, I'll also say this, that even if he has a bad year and he doesn't live up to the $30 million that they're paying him, at least we right now as Met fans have a chance to see what it can look like. I'd much rather have a chance and see what it could look like and fail than not have a chance at all.
Yeah.
And that's the way I looked at it. And I know like Sal made a good point yesterday that he was saying, you know, now they're past the point of no return, that and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, that is Pete going to be happy? And if he's not going to be happy, why would you bring him back? Well, you know, I think Pete is happy because of the fact that he's got $30 million coming his way and because he's going to stay at first base for the New York Mets, an organization that he loves. And the fans love him. So I think this is a happy medium for all of us. And I think it's great.
Yeah, and his personality certainly is not one where he's going to walk in and be petty or annoyed or isolate himself. It's just not who he is. I mean,
he's motivated.
He should be motivated, but he's a lovable goofball who wants to play baseball and loves playing in New York. So there are certain personalities that, without a doubt, if the same thing happened, they would walk in and be like, you know what, this sucks. They paid this guy. I never did anything for the Mets. Yeah, almost $1 billion, and they're toying with me, and this is nonsense, and I'll show them. And, you know, but he wants to win, and he wants to do well. And, of course, he wants to get another contract, and a big contract. And for him, if he opts out at the end of the year and gets 4 or 5 years at a nice number, he would love that. And maybe it's not with the Mets, but I just there's not going to be clubhouse issues with him. There's just no way.
I just needed to see it this year. I wanted to be able to say that, you know, we watched Aaron Judge and Juan Soto do amazing things offensively for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
I want to see that same type of thing, and they got Francisco Lindor right in the middle of it, right in the middle of his prime. I mean, I wanted to see that, and I think we should say thank you to the owners of the New York Mets for doing it. I know that they have bigger plans than just the Mets themselves. It's the whole design over there, you know, with all the gambling, and you got the new soccer stadium going up over there now, and they're trying to redevelop that whole waterway area. So, I'm all for it. I think it's a win for everybody, and I think everybody has a good feeling this morning if you wake up and you're a Met fan.
Yeah, I mean, and it happens before spring training, so it's not over their heads. It's not a talking point when they go down there. Not everybody's going to be asked about it. I mean, that's another thing.
Everybody should be positive about it. All of his teammates should be happy for him. He should be happy. He should be highly motivated. And the Mets themselves can't look at this ownership group and say, you know, you didn't do anything. You didn't support us. Now it's on the players. Remember last year around the trading deadline, we were talking about, or actually it was in May when they got off to a bad start. Oh, they got to trade this guy. They're going to have to trade that guy. And we were going down those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, Steve Cohen basically said, I still believe in this group. And then the players started talking about how we need additions. We don't need subtractions. And to the credit of the owner and to the credit of the players, they took those and they went all the way to the NL Championship Series. I mean, that tells you a lot about what that locker room's all about, and I think that locker room is whole now. So I think it's great.
Are you a little surprised that Jeff McNeil's still here?
No.
Why not?
I think that they, you know, I know he's a grinder. He's like a Jesse Winker type. You know, they got the edge, the Stanek type. I like those guys on my team.
It's just that, you know, there's definitely there, you know, there was a big issue with Lindor. Even last year, Lindor mentioned how, you know, when Jeff McNeil was in a slump and then got out of it, he was like, oh, you know, we really love happy Jeff around here. You know, basically saying that the opposite of that is a tough one.
Could they trade him and bring Iglesias back? I guess they could do that.
Well, I think Iglesias should be on the team. But, I mean, you know, he was so good for them. I mean, I just don't know if that you could expect that same thing from him.
But you know what? He made it to the top of the charts with OMG and Candelita by being on the New York Mets. Like, if that would not have happened had he been on, I don't think, any other team.
Well, it could have been the Yankees or the Dodgers.
But the Yankees or the Red Sox weren't going to lead into that. The Mets lean into stuff like this.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Yankees would have leaned into it, too.
No way.
Remember they had that stupid rally turtle? They do silly stuff, too.
No, they don't.
And yes, they did. Well, Nestor Cortez had a rally turtle in the dugout.
Well, that's why he's no longer with the team. But I would just say that's one of the reasons why. But
because of the rally turtle?
I think the Mets just do so many wacky things, and it's just the Mets. It's like it's in the Met DNA. And I bet you Alex Cohen wants Iglesias back.
Yeah, would hope so. I mean, I also think it was a really good song. Like, I mean, just it was good. It's so good that Pitbull wanted to do a remix of it.
Last night, you get the Hall of Fame announcement. You get the NFL honors show. And Giants fans mostly angry, I would believe, that Eli Manning not getting in on the first ballot. And it wasn't even the first ballot, really, that was the big story. The big story was that he wasn't even in the top 10 of votes last night. So that is something that when those conversations and the way it happens is you get someone who presents Eli Manning to the rest of the writers discuss it, and lots of them believe that Eli Manning wasn't close to being a Hall of Famer this time around. Will he get in eventually? Probably, but I was surprised that he wasn't even close. And by the way, who presents Eli Manning? Is that Gary Myers who presents Eli Manning?
No, that would have been Bob Glauber.
Oh, that's Bob Glauber. Okay.
Maybe Gary Myers should be on the...
No, I don't think so, because he sucks. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You got Joe Klecko in.
Yeah, well, you got Joe Klecko in. Good morning, how are you?
Okay, I'm doing great, man, on this Super Feel Good Friday, man.
Yeah.
It is a Super Feel Good Friday. I know you're talking about the NFL honors and things of that nature. I mean, really, probably the weirdest thing I've ever seen. You know, for about 23 years, I was an AP All-Pro and honors a voter.
Mm-hmm.
And I always took it very seriously. I know how much it means to the players. You know, I was fortunate enough to win the MVP way back when in a whole nother time frame. But so I always knew what it meant for somebody to be an All-Pro. And I always try to look past the popular player, always look at the numbers and see if those numbers jumped off the page. And one of those players at one time was Richard Sherman, an undrafted defensive back out of the Seattle Seahawks. I voted him on the All-Pro team. And people were asking me, how could you vote a guy like that nobody knows about? I said, well, have you watched the guy play? When he was a young player for the Seattle Seahawks, he was one of the best defensive backs in football, one of the most physical defensive backs in football. So I found it very easy to do that if you take your job seriously and take your vote seriously. So one of the really longstanding, I guess, unwritten rules is if you make the All-Pro team,
mm-hmm,
and you are first-team All-Pro, then you are going to be in line for honors after it's all over, said, and done with. And the big question here, the big controversy here would be the MVP. And Lamar Jackson was far and away voted the All-Pro quarterback. However, last night, as we found out, Josh Allen won the MVP vote.
And the same people vote on both?
Same people vote on both, and they're two different ballots. And it's very interesting that this happened. I don't know what people were thinking about. I mean, I'm not saying that Josh Allen didn't have a great season. Of course he did. Joe Burrow had a great season. Saquon Barkley had a great season. And Josh was very gracious last night, as you would expect. And he looked great, and he said all the right things. I mean, it was stunning to me that he won it, honestly, because I've never heard the all-pro quarterback not really winning the MVP, or somebody not on the all-pro team winning the MVP. And when you take a look at Lamar Jackson's season, I mean, it was one for the ages, maybe the greatest single season any quarterback has ever had statistically, given the fact that he's a dual threat player, much like Josh Allen is.
Yeah, and Josh Allen was surprised. He thought that Lamar Jackson was going to win it. This reminds me a lot of the Joel Embiid winning it over Jokic, because they didn't want Jokic to win three in a row. It almost feels something like that. Like, oh, let's give it to somebody else. You know, it's Lamar Jackson. We can't have Lamar Jackson winning as many MVPs as Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or whatever, because if you look at the facts and you look at the numbers, it's absolutely Lamar Jackson's MVP. And, you know, we've talked a lot about these things, and it's these conversations drive me crazy, and I think you'll appreciate why, is because all of these guys, when you're talking about the top two guys in the MVP
race.
You're
talking about greatness. You're talking about greatness.
Right, and you're talking about Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
And then these conversations devolve into tearing one of those guys down and propping somebody up. And I understand it's sports talk, but, you know, it's one thing if we're sitting here and we're yelling about Zach Wilson or Daniel Jones or, you know, somebody that stinks, Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever. It's like that, but when you're talking about these great guys, it's like they're all deserving of praise, and it sucks that somebody who had an unbelievable career or an unbelievable season, you know, loses out on this stuff, and then we're talking about how they're a loser when they're the exact opposite of that. And the voting is interesting, you know. The fact that there's writers that do all of this stuff.
Well, I was not a writer.
Right. But there are.
By the way,
well, there's writers for Hall of Fame.
I know, but this is the first year that I had not voted for the AP. I was taken off, and I was more than happy to be taken off. But I just, you know, my thing is that, yes, we are arguing about great players.
Yeah.
And the same thing when it comes to the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
We're arguing about great players that eventually will get into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, the whole first ballot Hall of Fame deal, I know, is a big deal.
But before you get into that, because I was about to say something here about the voting. So Lamar Jackson got a fourth place vote. Did you see that?
Yeah.
And it was a former quarterback who gave him a fourth place vote. Jim Miller. So Jim Miller, who now works for SiriusXM, was a Bears quarterback. I don't know where else he played. I forget. But he had Lamar Jackson fourth on his ballot.
And the thing about Jim Miller, he works with Pat Kerwin on SiriusXM, and they have a very popular show over there. And, you know, that's his vote. He'll have to explain his vote. I can't explain it. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, Lamar, every single week, boom, 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 you could just count on it that, you know, his team was going to put up 30 points. Now, the same thing with Josh. I mean, we all know that they're both great players, and you could say that Joe Burrow.
He had Joe Burrow ahead of him. He had Josh Allen first, Saquon Barkley second, Joe Burrow third, Lamar Jackson fourth. That was his ballot. Disagree, right?
You have a quarterback that runs for over 900 yards, throws for over 4,000 yards, throws four interceptions in a season, throws 41 touchdown passes. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I would not agree with that. And, you know, I'm sure he has his reasons for it. I'm not going to tear him apart. I'm just going to say I completely disagree. If you wanted to put Saquon Barkley second because of the 2,000-yard season, and he may have broken the record had he played in the 17th game, I could make that argument. And I could also say that they have the best offensive line in football. They have a mobile quarterback. They have two great wide receivers, because, you know, that's the argument that they use against Lamar Jackson when it comes to the MVP compared to Josh Allen. Oh, look at all these great players he plays with.
Yeah.
I can say the same thing about Saquon Barkley.
Sure.
Look at all the great players he plays with.
Look at this offensive line.
Look at that offensive line. All pro guys all over the place. Pro Bowl players all over the place. It's an argument, but it was one of the real, if anything that came out of this last night, that was, to me, was shocking, because I don't think I'd ever seen that before.
Yeah.
A non-all pro player winning the MVP.
All right, so the first ballot Hall of Fame stuff, Eli Manning, not first ballot. And, you know, I thought he was going to be, and because of the magical Super Bowl runs, and I understand all the other numbers. I mean, for God's sakes, we have relitigated Eli Manning's career ad nauseum on this radio station and this show. So I'm fully aware of all the numbers, all the seasons, the records, this and that. I know this guy in and out. But I still thought because he's a Manning, because of the two Super Bowl MVPs and the playoff runs that he would get in first ballot. So he doesn't. I'm not shocked. I don't go crazy about these things. But the thing that was interesting to me, there were 10 guys ahead of him. Like he didn't miss out, and he was on the outside looking in, like on the doorstep.
He dropped.
I mean, this was like a he ain't close type of thing.
Yeah, maybe there's some Manning fatigue there. I don't know.
Manning fatigue.
I will say congratulations. So there's only four guys going in, so maybe they just want to keep the program short this year. maybe that's it. Sterling Sharp is going to make it after playing seven seasons in the NFL. So kind of along the lines of Gale Sayers. Was extremely impactful, but unfortunately cut by injury. His career cut by injury finally makes it in. And I think that, Shannon, I'm sure, is very happy because he's been advocating for his brother for so long. Your buddy Jared Allen makes it.
Yeah.
My man Eric Allen, who, I've seen a lot of this interception return that I threw in 1993 with him.
Yeah.
That should have not been allowed because there was an illegal block on the play against Johnny Mitchell. But that's, who cares, right? I mean, everybody's screaming about the officials. So I just got to put that out there.
Okay.
But he was a great player. There's no question about that. And richly deserving. And I'm happy. I'm happy for him. And then, of course, Antonio Gates, who really was a guy that when he played, his name was mentioned every single week in the box scores, in the numbers he put up. So every single one of them are worthy of it. It's just unfortunate that Eli Manning didn't get in on the first ballot. Oh, my God, this is the end of the world.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If I were Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and anybody associated with the New York Giants, I would be so pissed off right now. And I know it's their own fault, their own doing. They've been in charge of this organization. Things have not gone well since that first year. It's been really bad, and they were on the hot seat and were kind of close to losing their jobs at the end of the season. And John Mara basically said, hey, if it doesn't get better quick, then we're going to have to move on from these guys too. But the beating up of the New York Giants, they get beat up now more than the Jets, because the Jets, during the season, all this stuff happened with them, and they fire their GM, and they end up firing the coach. We know the whole thing. But now, because of what's going on with Saquon, it's all about the Giants. And then you even see last night with Saquon Barkley, he could have said any team, but he goes, oh, the Giants need a quarterback. And I know he's probably saying that for one of two reasons. One, to troll the Giants, and two, to protect his friend Daniel Jones, because they unceremoniously, you know, let him go in the middle of the season. And Daniel Jones, by the way, is going to be in Saquon's box for the Super Bowl watching the game, because they're so such close friends.
Just like he was for the NFC Championship.
Right. So he'll be in the box for the Super Bowl as well. But it's like, enough already. They're getting crushed on the broadcast and all of these things. I mean, it's like they've got to, if they weren't inspired enough to have a great offseason and really move this thing in the right direction, I mean, everywhere you go, there's another joke about the Giants and Saquon Barkley and how they screwed up, and it's all on a national level. And now Saquon's leaning into it anytime he gets a chance to, too.
Yeah, I mean, but you can say whatever you want. He's a player like all the players are, but they're also fans. They know what's going on around the league. They know who needs quarterbacks. They know that the Browns need a quarterback, the Raiders need a quarterback, the Jets need a quarterback, the Giants need a quarterback. They know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a very innocuous, kind of funny answer that he gave Jameis, knowing that Jameis was probably looking for that answer, I would think. But yeah, I think the Giants are in a really weird spot. I mean, and it's going to be interesting to see what the Titans and the Browns do in front of them. Or did the Giants stamp out at number three, or do they trade back and try to add even more people? I don't know. This is going to be a really, really interesting free agency into the draft period. I think it's going to be wild.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like, at least as we sit here right now, and it's going to change 10 million times by the draft at the end of April, but that the Giants and Shedeur Sanders right now are on a collision course. And, you know, the Titans maybe Travis Hunter, the Browns maybe Cam Ward, and then Shedeur Sanders at three. It just feels like these two are destined for one another at this point. But who knows? I mean, the Titans could be playing games when they said we're not passing on a generational talent, when everybody believes the one generational talent at the top of the draft is Travis Hunter and not one of the two quarterbacks. Maybe they're just messing around, because obviously they need a quarterback as well. So if the Giants are on the outside looking in again when they're trying to get a young quarterback, and it may end up working out for them, these two guys might not be anything like the quarterbacks that we saw last year, but they, in order to really have some job security, they need to get a young quarterback, get their hands on that guy, and have him show some real promise like the quarterbacks of the draft last year. That's the only way they're sticking around next year.
Yeah, I would agree with that, because and the other aspect of this is, who is their backup quarterback going to be?
Well, or the person who starts the beginning of the season, because you've got a young quarterback you don't want to throw out there right away.
Kind of, you know, it's really interesting, because I still don't believe, the only reason the quarterbacks will be drafted where they're going to be drafted is just simply because of need. Not because of where they rank in terms of best players in this draft.
Well, also salary cap structure, and if you can have, a good team with a young quarterback on his rookie deal, that is the best way, the easiest way to win is that.
It is, if one of these guys legitimately is the guy that you think can lead your team. You know, I don't know if either guy is really truly ready for that. The only thing I will say about Shedeur Sanders is, and I'll keep harping on this, is that he has exactly what Patrick Mahomes has. He has the expectations that he can do it, and that he can't wait to get there to go and do it. And just hopefully that if it is the Giants are going to make sure that there's enough offensive talent around him so he doesn't have to do everything that he did at Colorado his first year.
Yeah, I mean, and he's definitely not a player like Patrick Mahomes. He may have a mentality like Patrick Mahomes, because both fathers were
athletes, professional athletes. Obviously, Dion a little more successful than Patrick Mahomes Sr., but they play the game totally differently.
I know that, but they've been around it. And, like, you know, I would think having, you know, the name Shador or Shiloh and you're Dion's kids, that there's expectations that everybody has for you. And quite frankly, this kid has lived up to almost all those expectations.
Sure.
At every level.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, God bless him and good luck to him. And hopefully he carries that into the NFL and he takes it seriously. The thing I don't know about any of these kids anymore is the amount of money that they've already made. Like, look what Arch Manning just signed another NIL deal at Texas. And basically he's thrown probably like 25 passes or something.
It's amazing.
It is. But, you know, again, you could see that it's the Manning. So you expect him to be great. And at every level that that kid has played, even though it's Uncle Peyton and Uncle Eli, he has still lived up to all the expectations. And so much so that Quinn Ewers has decided I'm leaving because I know that next year this is going to be Arch Manning's team.
Yeah, absolutely. It is finally time for everybody to see Arch be the starting quarterback for a full season.
We had the Luka Doncic trade for Davis.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis of the Lakers, which was, like, came out of nowhere. You talk about things that are coming out of nowhere. The JT Miller thing had been percolating for about 2 to 3 weeks, and we were all wondering what we were going to have to give up to get him. But this thing between the Mavericks and the Lakers shocked everybody because nobody had any idea that the Mavericks were getting tired of Luka Doncic's BS.
Yeah, and I know that the finals last year, he was getting torched with the lack of defense and the complaining about the refs and whatever, but he still got that team to the finals, and people had talked about his weight a little bit, but the fact that he got traded at 25 years old for what he got traded for, of course everybody was shocked, and there's really no other opinion you can have on it because it's unprecedented. I mean, it really is unprecedented.
Well, the last guy to get traded like this was Anthony Davis, but he wanted out of New Orleans.
Right. And maybe, you know, in Nico Harris and the GM there, who now everybody knows his name, no one really was talking about Nico Harrison until this weekend. But, you know, he had made some comments saying that we weren't so sure if he was going to want to stay here and sign the Supermax, and they got ahead of it. But, I mean, the most egregious thing is, when you have a superstar like this that you're trading, I mean, you can't have some, like, underground thing going on where he ends up with the Lakers, because it looks, that to me looks like this thing had been planned by, like, everybody, including the highest level of the NBA, because the goddamn Lakers always get another player. Every time that they're about to go through a stretch where you're like, okay, how much can LeBron play at a high level at 40, 41 years old? And now all of a sudden they get the 25-year-old superstar. Oh, yeah, Shaq goes there, and Kareem goes there, and Wilt goes there. And it just never ends. Anthony Davis goes there. Now Luka goes there. It never ends with the Lakers. They always get a guy.
But here's the thing that I would say in regards to Luka and his financial situation. You know, Harrison could say all he wants. I don't think he would stay here. They were the only team that could give him a
Supermax.
$345 million contract in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
All right. So no state taxes. So they had every, you know, he would have every financial reason to stay there. You could say whatever you want. He, I think, again, remember I was telling you about, we were talking about Mekhi Becton when Mekhi Becton first got here with the injuries and not taking care of himself and not eating right and having to grow up. This guy's 25 years old. He's already been an all-pro. He's already been an MVP candidate. He's already been, what do you call it, rookie of the year. He's had everything. I'm just saying from an internal standpoint from the Mavericks, looking at him, watching him put on weight, not take care of himself, probably drinks a little bit too much for their liking. Maybe they know more things about him internally than we do. What we see is a highly accurate basketball player who can shoot and score, plays very little defense. And now, since he's been injured, he's not taking care of himself. Maybe he's missing a few of the physical therapy sessions. We don't know.
Yeah, and all that it could be right and fine, but you still, his value still would have been tremendous on the open market, which they never put him out there with. I mean, that's the thing that's baffling. You want to tell me that you're done with the guy and there's a lot of stuff that we don't know and he's not putting full effort into it. Okay, and you're thinking we're not winning a championship with this guy even though we got to the finals with him last year. You want to tell me that because I'm not there? Okay. But what you can't do is engage one basketball team when the coach doesn't know, the players don't know, LeBron didn't know. I mean, the Lakers were probably like, you can't be serious with this.
Let me ask you this. Let's say they call the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they say, we want Carl Anthony Towns. Would you make that trade? Would you make that trade?
The way the Knicks had been playing, no. I mean, that's such a tough one, man. He's so good, but no, I probably wouldn't have done it because I feel like they're good enough right now to win.
Okay.
So, but I mean, in almost any other scenario prior to this team making that final deal for Carl Anthony Towns, I would want Luka Doncic. We were actually talking about it before they got Towns. Like, Doncic could be the guy, reunite him with Jalen Brunson. He could be that last piece.
Remember this, you know, maybe trade him to Boston, but oh, that's right, he can't play with Porzingis because they tried to play down in Dallas, they couldn't play together. I mean, there's more to this than really truly meets the eye, and I know there's a way to look at this by saying, you know, you only got this back. I can't believe it. I think the fact that there was $345 million tied to a potential keeping him there, that's a huge number. There's the propensity to get injured and miss a lot of games. That's an issue. There are the physical attributes of Luka Doncic putting on weight and not playing defense. That's all part of it. And then I think the circus would come to town if Harrison says to the NBA and sends out a missive on the NBA email to all of his other GMs that, hey, Luka's available. What do you want? I couldn't even imagine what the three-ring circus around the Mavericks would have been had they done it that way. Oh,
well, okay. I mean, you don't have to do that. I mean, you can also, at the trade deadline, people are calling, you have some conversations. You got to get other teams involved. It was insane. They could have gotten so much more for Luka Doncic. It's not even, and that's why this trade, when people said, and a lot of people had the same opinion that, like, you know, David Stern would not have allowed this trade to happen. I actually believe that. Because it just does not feel right. And there's been, it just always feels like the NBA is always going to make sure that the Lakers are good no matter what. And that's what this feels like.
I don't know. Harrison and Pelinka are buddies. This particular move is going to cost, I think, about $115 to $120 million for Luka Doncic. He's not going to be able to sign for the amount of money that the Mavericks could have given him.
Yep.
And it's going to be like $115 or $120 million less. Let's say he signs with the Lakers. I mean, just the amount of taxes and everything, it's insane how much money this guy has just lost within the last 24 hours. He lost a ton load of money for a lot of different reasons. You know, the other aspect of it is I'm thinking Harrison says, look, this kid is off the rails. He needs somebody to get him back on the rails. We like the kid. We really appreciate everything he's done for us. Let me call my buddy Stan Pelinka. Or
Rob.
Rob Pelinka. Let me call Rob Pelinka. Hey, Rob, I got this guy, Luka Doncic. He's off the rails. He needs some help. He needs some direction. There's nobody here that's even talking to him that can even save him. Maybe, just maybe, if he plays with LeBron and watches the way that LeBron takes care of himself, maybe you can reactivate him as a great player and you can afford him moving forward when LeBron retires. Is that a possibility?
No.
Think they even had that conversation?
No, I don't know. No. I think that he has had it with him. He was annoyed and he did something that was rash and nuts. And it could go down depending on, you know, what happens. Maybe this is the wake up call and the smelling salts that Luka Doncic needed. I don't know. But it could go down as one of the worst trades in professional sports history if Luka Doncic is the next great Laker who brings championships there, which is a very real possibility.
If he can get back to being the player he was, the weight he was, and doing what he's supposed to be doing, which wasn't the case in the eyes of the Mavericks.
Anthony Davis,
they were going to pay $345 million for a guy that they, I think, have fallen out of favor.
Well, once again, though, that's fine if you have decided that you don't want to go forward with him as the centerpiece of your franchise because of all the things you talked about. It's okay. A lot of people would disagree with it, but you just can't make a deal like that with an asset. You know, the rest of the league doesn't look at Luka Doncic like Nico Harrison did. And maybe Luka Doncic goes to L.A. and gets even bigger and is a disaster and he's Zion Williamson. I don't think that's going to happen.
But that's what they were worried about. Zion Williamson.
But that's what they're worried about.
Maybe he has a lot of those traits and they don't want to pay for
it. Every other GM in basketball says, let it known that Luka Doncic is available. I'm ready to move heaven and earth to get this guy on my team.
You think that the Celtics would trade either Jaylen Brown or do you think that they
That's a team. But here's the thing. There's a couple of examples that you've given, which are tough ones. So the Celtics won a championship with that group. But there's other teams like the Knicks. The Knicks is such a tough one. It really is. But, you know, they're on a trajectory right now. There are so many teams that were desperate for a superstar that are in NBA purgatory that, like, we're never going to get out of this because we're not bad enough to get up to the top. We're not good enough to beat these teams. How are we getting the superstar? Well, it can't be Luka. He's going to sign a supermax there. And then he's available. It's like, oh, my God. Here, take all my picks. Take the rest of the roster. We're going to get this guy in here. We're going to turn him around and going to build around him. As opposed to like in the middle of the night, you know, sending him, you know, overnight FedEx to the Lakers with no one knowing.
Well, I mean, JT Miller got sent FedEx. He was, I think they were down in Dallas when he got sent to the Rangers and arrives 3:00 in the morning in Boston and ends up playing. I mean, that's what happens. Yeah. But I just think I understand the Mavericks' point of view from this. Just because of the circus that would have developed around all of this had he not pulled the trigger now to get the deal done. I'm not saying that he couldn't have gotten more from other teams. I'm just saying that if they believe that they have half a decent team right now and that they can actually make it to the playoffs and maybe by adding Anthony Davis when Anthony Davis is healthy, that's going to be the most important thing because maybe they felt like Kyrie and Luka Doncic couldn't play together. Who knows?
I mean, they won the Western Conference.
I know, but I don't know all the inner workings right now at this moment with what that team is going through and what they have witnessed from that player. That's the one thing that we can all just speculate on. Now, most of the guys on ESPN or NBA that are covering this and are talking about it, they're all talking about how he has been out of shape, how he's not been a team leader, how he doesn't play defense. Mm-hmm. You know, he's up to like 260 pounds. I mean, this is not they're going to invest $345 million.
Yeah, I know. We're going around in the same, making the same points. But still, you make him available to the rest of the league, you're getting 15 deals that are better than the one you took.
Well, you're also getting a circus. And maybe that's one of the things.
Who cares? You get the deal done, you can make your team better.
I will say this. The only circus that they have now is just the question of why would you do this? Why would you do it now? And why would you do it so quickly? To me, that just means that they just wanted to, like, they knew internally what the hell was going on. They were probably dealing with his agent and things of that nature in terms of trying to deal with him and trying to negotiate with him what the future moving forward is. Maybe they offered him a deal to try to save some money.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He didn't mention that, Nico Harrison, in his press conference. But on the surface right now, it's a bad deal. And I'm sure that Nico Harrison is hoping that Luka Doncic goes to L.A. and starts living the Hollywood lifestyle and gets hurt and blows up and has a miserable rest of his career because if he doesn't and he goes there and his name goes up in the rafters with the great Laker Hall of Famers, then Nico Harrison's name will forever be painted in a negative light as an NBA general manager. This is indeed Super Bowl week, and I'm looking back on for the previous Super Bowls.
Yes.
Just to make sure that I was not having a recency bias here.
Okay.
And I think this Super Bowl is the one I've been least looking forward to since the Patriots and the Rams the year we were down in Atlanta.
Yeah, that was a rough one. That was not a great Super Bowl.
But
that was a defensive one.
Forget about the game for a second. I'm talking about the lead up to it.
Oh, I see. Okay. But you said you had a good time in Atlanta.
I did. That's a totally different conversation. I had a great time in Atlanta doing a bunch of stuff. I'm talking about the anticipation for the Super Bowl. Because what I'm feeling this week is no buzz. Buzz or no buzz. Speaking of Al and Jerry, no buzz.
Chief fatigue?
Well, indeed, there's that. And as you said yesterday, nobody likes the Eagles but Eagles fans.
Yes.
I mean, they're not a team that people like, oh, man, let's get behind the Eagles.
Yeah, I told you America wanted Buffalo and Detroit.
So, you know, all these other ones, you had the 49ers and the Chiefs, the first time Patrick Mahomes won. You had the Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes Super Bowl. You had the Bengals in there, which was new, and the Rams. You had the Chiefs and the Eagles the first time because the Eagles, you know, this regime hadn't been there. So, and then you got Chiefs and 49ers last year, clearly the two best teams
in Vegas. And very offensive-minded, and you got the great uniforms. All that stuff.
Yeah.
Feels like it's New Orleans. It's kind of flat a little bit, maybe just because we're here and not there. Yeah. Maybe we're in the midst of February where we're all dealing, you know, with dryness. So we feel like, it's not but all that exciting, although I'm pretty pumped for the game. I got to tell you, I'm pumped for the game. I'm pumped to see whether or not, you know, Kansas City can set a new standard and do something nobody's ever done before.
Yeah, see, that's not, it's not hitting me because I don't want them to do that. I don't want them to be the best ever for whatever reason, because I'm annoyed with them, and I also don't want the Eagles to win. Like, this is a classic. You know, Gina asked me yesterday, she's like, who are you rooting for to win? I said, I'm not rooting for either one of these teams. What I'll do is I'll make some prop bets, and I'll watch the game, and I'll pay attention and have to have takes on everything, the commercials to the halftime show to whatever else, of course, the game. But like, I have zero interest in who wins the game outside of what money I put on the game. That's it. I really don't want to see either team win.
You know, the thing about it is if it had been Buffalo and Detroit, because of those fan bases and because of the excitement and the way that they play football with the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm saying these two teams have offense.
Well, they're great teams.
Yeah, and they're exciting in terms of, you know, putting up points and the ability to put up points. But I understand what you're saying. And this is what I was talking about yesterday. But for me anyway, I'm still pretty jacked to see whether or not Jalen Hurts can recreate his performance from a few years back, and to see whether or not Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones can do something that nobody's ever done in the NFL before, and that's win three in a row. And I'm rooting for Coach Riley down there in Miami to make millions off of this.
Are you really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I am going to predict that this Super Bowl will not touch the ratings of last year's Super Bowl.
Yeah, last year's Super Bowl was the most watched television program of all time.
I don't think it's going to.
And I was a part of that, and they sent us like a little football.
I know, I got the little football as well, yeah.
Man, we got like a little football.
I mean, it's a little foam football, yeah.
Can you know where it is?
I put mine up in the bar area.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, a little bar area thing that I have.
You should bring it in tomorrow to remind us.
Okay, I'll do that if you'd like me to.
Try to think where my, I don't know where my football is. I don't know where that is.
So I've got a couple things in the bar area that Gina has allowed me to display over there.
Yeah.
And it's the two game balls that you have given me for two specific BEF events. So those are displayed. My Biggest Loser trophy that I won there, that is displayed.
That was a big thing for you.
And my little foam football for the Super Bowl, most watched Super Bowl, I had nothing to do with. It's also up there.
Yeah, but, you know, it was the lead up, I think. You know, and the fact that you won on that show.
Sunday Night Countdown, or Sunday Countdown, whatever it was.
Sunday Countdown, like, you know, we had our own show out there. We were in the middle of everything.
Yes, I definitely contributed to that rating. Yeah, now that I think about it, yes.
Promoting
the Super Bowl, yes. Did you guys get little footballs as well?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's nice. See, everybody got little footballs. By the way, did you get the CBS? Did you guys sign up for the CBS Sports gift this year?
I did.
I did, too. I went in there.
I did, too.
All right. So
what'd you guys get?
You're not going to believe what I got.
I ordered the jacket. Looks really nice. Winter, like a winter jacket.
I don't think I had that option. It might have been sold out by then, because I would have gotten that. I ended up getting the sneakers. The custom sneakers.
See, I don't know if I saw that as an option.
See? I don't know what they're doing over there. They're probably giving, like, certain people certain options.
Like, you would think Tony Romo gets the big option.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Jim Nance gets a big option. Ian Eagle, now that he's doing basketball and everything else.
100%.
He's the lead guy. He's getting huge options in terms of presence.
Like, you stock guys, options, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe stock options. But I think you guys probably got the lower half.
The peon options, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt. What did you pick? Did you get the email?
I didn't pick anything.
You didn't pick anything?
I don't need anything.
Why not?
I got too much as it is, man.
I mean,
I'm having a hard time just getting crap out of my office here.
Here we go. All right. CBS Sports employee gift. So I got to put in all the stupid codes and everything else. I'm not going to be able to do it again. But yeah, I got it was either luggage, which I didn't need.
It's just a good luggage.
Custom CBS Sports sneakers.
I think at one time, one year, I took a backpack. It was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten stuff before. I've gotten jackets before and things. Hey, Stephen Waldron, what did you get? There's no way that you did not pick a gift from the employee gift CBS thing.
Well, why wouldn't I? And even if you don't make a decision, you get sent a default gift. So, Boober, you will be getting something.
I will? Really?
Yeah, if you read the email, it says if you do not make a choice by the deadline date, you will get sent a default gift.
Oh, wow.
But to which residence? That's the question.
Whatever's on file.
It's a signed picture of Matt Ryan.
And gee, I had a feeling you picked the shoes.
They're going to send me the sneakers, but they don't know my size, so they're going to send me something where size does not matter.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Like luggage. Something like
that. Yeah, I'll get luggage.
What'd you say there, Steven, about the shoes?
I said I had a feeling you went with the shoes.
I had no, there were really only two options. It was luggage and shoes. And I was like, I'll get the shoes.
The hat and mittens. There was the vest with the fanny pack, the shoes.
I didn't see any of those things.
Yeah, maybe because you're a real CBS employee, so maybe you got that, Steven. We only got limited options.
Yeah, I didn't get any.
I was hoping Eddie could get more packing squares.
So what did you pick, Steven?
I picked the vest and the fanny pack.
A fanny pack?
Well, I picked the vest. It's a nice Lululemon vest. And then the fanny pack I'll give to the lady.
But that is, both of those things are female gifts. Lululemon vest and a fanny pack.
Lululemon's making men's stuff now. They make a lot of, they did a whole collab with Fanatics in the NHL.
Really?
Yeah.
But you hear Lululemon, you immediately think, like, athleisure for a woman.
Well, initially, yes, but they have branched out. They've expanded their, their footprint.
You sounded so corporate there. Yeah. Made me sick. They branched out and expanded their footprint into men's clothing. All right, well, Stephen, very good, man. So you're going to give the fanny pack to your girlfriend?
Correct. I will not wear a fanny pack.
Stick an engagement ring in that fanny pack, and it'll be worth something, you know?
Not yet.
I'm not asking that question. Eddie, I am not doing that. Yeah, so I'm excited for my sneakers to come sometime in 2028.
No, they'll come. They come pretty quickly, actually.
You think so?
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I remember that jacket I think I got. It took a long time to come. That thing.
Well, there's probably a lot of people getting a nice gift.
Damn right.
You got to think that there's probably... I would think somewhere between 300 and 500 people just in CBS Sports alone.
Yeah. I wonder what Fox gives you, Fox Sports.
I don't know.
Maybe a kiss from Charlie Dixon?
All right. Well, in case.
Time for moment of the day. And this one just fitting because of the way we make fun of Christopher Russo around here. We're going to start calling Al Mad Dog Dukes. Bears owner Virginia Hallis McCaskey has passed away. She was 102 years old. She comes from a pretty good football family. I think that's fair to say. Matter of fact, we've got a Hallis in South Jersey who's a pediatrician. Of course, that's news to some people, like my co-host.
Bears owner Virginia Hallis McCaskey has passed away, Jerry.
No, it's not Hallis. No,
it's George Hallis's. What is wrong with you?
Oh, no.
My God.
Oh, no. Wow. You're becoming like dog right in front of our eyes.
I was looking at the last name, the McCaskey part, and I didn't want to screw that up. And then I saw the Hallis part, and I was like, got thrown off. Bears owner Virginia Hallis McCaskey is. So I can see what happens with dog and, you know, other people.
There you go.
He said goodbye.
Moment of the day.
And they came in.
Yes, they did.
The midday guys. Look at this.
They came in like, oh, Gio and Boomer wanted this. Come on, let's get in there. Look at Hyde. Right. Just as Papa Shango. Brother BT.
Sorry to cut you off there. They said it was okay to come in.
No, it was okay. No. It was fine. It's all good. So they're all right. Perfect.
It's the power of being called out. I mean, that's, you know,
yeah.
Calling us
yes,
out.
Yes, exactly.
I thought we were boys.
You need to call the St. John's game like that.
I know. That's what these guys are saying. Hey, I'm already ready for you guys. Screw Brother Love. Screw the Bets. Go Johnnies.
And Hoffman, you walked the streets looking like this?
I did, yes. I parked about 4 blocks away.
Oh, my God.
Man, look great. Out. I mean, this look is a great costume.
Look how thick he is.
I know.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad, though. He's a grand.
I lost 25 pounds since you guys were making fun of me. Thank you.
All right, I think I would look worse in that onesie than
wow.
Hoffman.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
I mean, if I didn't know, if I didn't know you were such a wuss, I'd be scared of you.
Oh.
Honestly, I would be scared of you. You're like 6'4", 370 pounds now, dressed like that, walking the streets.
Yeah.
You're a freak.
I got a couple honks, too. I appreciate it. A
couple honks, too.
FedEx guys, we're very happy with
Sal, what was the bet here again?
Well, our football picks. Perfect parlay pick segment throughout the course of the year. Okay. Regular season, these two were the losers, and I had to pick what they dressed up as.
By the way, how's your eye?
It's okay. Thank you for asking.
I was telling the doctor yesterday, I went for a recheck,
yeah.
And I'm like, the guys at work are giving me crap. She's like, well, it's a serious surgery. Why don't you have them come in here and do it if it's not that big of a deal?
We don't need it.
Yeah, I don't need it. My eyes are great.
No, that's what I'm saying, but everybody's right. Like, oh, you missed a couple of days of work. I mean, it's just eye surgery. Mm. I have to go under.
Whatever.
Very good.
You guys look good.
Check them out. You could watch this on YouTube Live or something. Can you do that or no? I don't know.
I think Twitch.
Or Twitch.
Just check the digital.
There he goes. PT. Jesus Christ.
Sorry.
That was great.
I love the fact you said he is dressed like a Johnny.
Yeah, no, I know.
He's a Johnny tonight.
That is tremendous.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Gio.
All right, the Boomer and Geo Friday football picks are brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, America's number one sportsbook and the official sportsbook of WFAN. Well, I'm happy to say that this pick doesn't matter in the overall standings. Back-to-back champions. I'll go for a three-peat next year, Pat Riley, so look for that check.
I'm not coming in like King Kong Bundy on Monday.
Yeah, we don't have any bets. But I feel good about 2 years in a row. But this would be nice to finish on a win here. And I believe, you know what? Last place is on the line here. Last place between you guys is on the line. So
you say last place, I say second place is on the line.
All right, so let's do this. If there's a prop bet you like or the over-under, you can throw it in there if you would like. But let's get to our picks on the game.
Eagles-Chiefs minus a point and a half.
You know what? I think it's going to be like a high-scoring game, so I think at least 57 points going to be the combined score here. So I'm not sure the over-under. I'm assuming somewhere around 48, 49, I would think, right?
It's 47 and a half.
47 and a half. All right. So I think it's going to be an over. That I would definitely take that. And I do think that there is something about a winning DNA, knowing how to win, when to win, knowing how to play, being asked to do things that very few other players are ever asked to do because you don't have that synergy with the coaching staff.
To 48 me, that, and a half. Sorry, 48
all right,
and a half.
So that, to me, that is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And I'm not going to go against them. They know what's on the line here. They know they're on the precipice of doing something fantastic and great. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs, and I'm going to say 30-27. So, you know, they'll cover. They'll win their third straight Super Bowl. And by the way, this would be Patrick Mahomes' 18th win in the playoffs. So he's almost caught Tom Brady, who's got 35 wins in the playoffs.
All right. I am also picking the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't pick against them. And hearing Phil Simms and Bill Cowher talk about how the Eagles are the better team and how they can win this game, it made me trepidatious about picking the Chiefs because I certainly trust those guys' opinions, but I can't do it. They always win. They find a way to win. I think that Steve Spagnuolo will find a way to keep Saquon Barkley under wraps enough so he doesn't have that home run. It's not so much about, you know, the total number of yards he gets at the end of the game. It's how he gets them. Did he get 68 on a touchdown run, or did he get, you know, 5 a carry and then they had to settle for a field goal in the red zone? I think that's what you're going to end up seeing. I'm getting away from my two guys who did me well in the championship game. I'm going to bet the over on Hollywood Brown's receiving yards and the over on Devontae Smith's receiving yards. I'm going to bet Devontae Smith to catch a touchdown pass, and I'm also going to, as we're talking about first touchdown of the game, going to put Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, Travis Kelce, and also Xavier Worthy
for first touchdown of the game to have a little fun with that. But that's a lower bet. You do that responsibly because it's big odds and you can have a little bit of fun. But the big pick is the Kansas City Chiefs.
And I guess we will go head-to-head for second place because I just pains me. I am taking the Eagles. I think you win the game in the trenches. They're better on the offensive line. They're better on the defensive line. They've got the better run game. I know the quarterback's better on Kansas City. I am taking Philadelphia 34-21. Wow, good for you. You know, the thing about it is I can see the Eagles getting out to an early lead. I could see that. But the thing about Patrick Mahomes is when he's down 10 points, that's when he starts to play. His clutch statistics in the playoffs are basically second only to Tom Brady, and that's because Tom Brady has played so many more playoff games than Patrick Mahomes has played. So this would be his fourth Super Bowl victory, and this would also be, you know, put him right there behind Tom Brady. And I just kind of feel like he's got the special sauce to win.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.